Thanks. This is KJZZ SUNUP, your daily news update from here in Phoenix on our state and region. I'm Phil Lantzman, your host for this podcast, a daily digest of Arizona news as reported by the KJZZ News team. It is Tuesday, June 2nd, and hope the week's off to a good start. June is certainly off to a predictably warm start here in the Valley and around the state. Let's keep it going with a check of the news. The National Weather Service does report this has been Phoenix's hottest spring on record. Catherine Davis-Young has the gory details.
Meteorologists define spring as March, April, and May, and the average temperature for those 3 months in Phoenix was more than 6 degrees above normal. The shift was most dramatic in March, when an unprecedented heat wave pushed temperatures almost 20 degrees above normal on some days. The unseasonably hot conditions contributed to at least 3 deaths in Maricopa County, and 67 possible heat-related deaths are under investigation. That's more than double the number under investigation at this point last year. Long-range forecasts show the valley is likely to see more above-normal heat heading into summer. Catherine Davis-Young, KJZZ News, Phoenix.
A new report shows Arizona's utility costs are rising even faster than the national average. Mark Wolf leads the National Energy Assistance Directors Association, which released the report. He told KJZZ's The Show families will need more electricity to cool their homes this summer. And he says families are already stretched thin by inflation and high gas prices.
Most of the people that our state programs help are families with low incomes. Now we're hearing from middle-income families who are saying that they're struggling to pay their electric bill. And for us, that's new. We really haven't seen that before.
The report estimates Arizonans will pay more than $1,000 to cool their homes this summer, compared to about $930 last year. Attorney General Chris Bayes has blocked state utility regulators from repealing renewable energy standards. As Greg Hawney reports, the Arizona Corporation Commission says the AG's action is illegal.
When the Arizona Corporation Commission votes to enact a new rule, it gets sent to the AG's office for review. If the AG disapproves of a rule, it gets sent back to the commission. In a letter to the commission, May said the utility regulators did not follow rulemaking procedures set out in law. The commission denies it violated the rulemaking process and said May's was essentially vetoing their decision. The commission voted to authorize legal counsel to explore next steps. It's not clear what those next steps will be, as the commission discussed possible action in executive session late last week. Greg Hawney, KJZZ News, Phoenix.
Well, it's frequently been reported about 40 million people in the West rely on the Colorado River. But as Chris Clements reports from Flagstaff, some researchers are disputing the accuracy of that figure.
Michael Cohen is with the Pacific Institute, a water policy think tank. Out of the 40 million people thought to be using Colorado River water, he says 7 million people in Southern California don't have the plumbing to access it.
It's ill-defined, but it's just kind of the conventional fallback.
The bigger the number, Cohen says, the more political power for the states and cities relying on the water. He thinks the total number of Americans using Colorado River water is likely around 35 million. It would be useful to know exactly how many people use it, he says, because
don't measure it, then it's harder to manage it.
And it's not just the number of Americans using the river's water. He says there's fuzziness around how much water is used each year and how many acres of farmland are irrigated with it. I'm Chris Clements in Flagstaff.
Well, June is Pride Month, but the organization that produces Arizona's largest LGBTQ plus cultural celebration has filed for bankruptcy. Matthew Casey has that.
The history of Phoenix Pride goes back to a 1981 gay rights march through downtown to the state capitol. Now, court records show that the nonprofit corporation has between $0 and $50,000 in its coffers, and Phoenix Pride also has around $430,000 in debt. Most of the total is folded into a breach of contract lawsuit filed by Pride Group LLC, which allegedly has not been paid for providing certain event management services during the Phoenix Pride Festival last October. Matthew Casey, KJZZ News, Phoenix.
An Arizona resident has died from hantavirus in Mojave County. Here's Catherine Davis-Young once more with that.
The death in Mojave County was linked to a strain of hantavirus called the Sin Nombre virus. That's different from the Andes strain that led to recent deaths on a cruise ship in the South Atlantic. A key difference between the two strains is that the Sin Nombre virus found in the Southwest is not known for person-to-person transmission. The Sin Nombre virus is carried by deer mice, and most cases stem from contact with rodents or rodent droppings. Arizona averages about 3 hantavirus cases per year, according to the state health department. Although cases are rare, health officials urge Arizonans to take precautions around rodents. Catherine Davis Young, KJZZ News, Phoenix.
The Indian Health Service plans to close its Tucson area office as the federal agency tries to revamp its organizational structure. The office gives technical support to healthcare facilities on the Tohono O'odham Reservation. It also offers education, prevention, and referral services at the Tucson Indian Center. Verlan Jose is chairman of the Tohono O'odham Nation.
They're trying to plan this to be more efficiently, and they're telling us that there's going to be no budget cuts and so forth. But, you know, how could you put the price on a person's health?
Under the agency's plan, the Tucson office's functions would be folded into the Phoenix office. Jose says tribes are still in the dark about how that would affect healthcare day to day. The National Park Service has published 35,000 public comments submitted in response to a Trump administration request to report negative signage about Americans past or living. The comments were submitted through QR codes, including nearly 7,000 from park sites in the Mountain West. Jerry James is with the environmental nonprofit Sierra Club. He says the responses reveal widespread opposition to the Trump administration's efforts to change signs.
I think that's what they really wanted from this. Like, let's kind of just make these sites commemorative places, not highlighting the true history. And a lot of folks called that out.
In Arizona, a visitor to Hubble Trading Post National Historic Site said they opposed the QR code effort, while a visitor to the Grand Canyon National Park used the opportunity to say the park needed more money and staff for facility maintenance. Arizona's Attorney General Chris Mays is suing 9 health insurance providers, accusing them of colluding with an AI technology platform to drive down payments to doctors while inflating costs for some patients. From the politics desk, Wayne Shutsky sorts it out.
Mays accused MultiPlan, a third-party billing company, of helping insurers drive down payments for out-of-market medical care on PPO health insurance plans. Mays said MultiPlan would run information provided by the insurance companies through its own algorithm to determine the lowest possible payment a medical provider would accept. MultiPlan would then recommend below-market payments to medical providers, and those payment amounts were then fed back into the algorithm to further justify low rates in the future.
Insurers would point to MultiPlan. MultiPlan would point to insurers, and in a coordinated effort, they would pressure providers, doctors, nurses, and hospitals into accepting that low offer.
Mays alleged the scheme violates Arizona's antitrust and consumer protection laws. MultiPlan denied the allegations. Wayne Shutsky, KJZZ News, Phoenix.
Well, the San Carlos Apache Council has hired a forensic accounting firm to conduct an audit following recent allegations of embezzlement by the tribe's own staffers. Gabriel Pietrazio has more.
4 employees, including the tribe's secretary, have all been placed on paid administrative leave pending this review. The staffers have been accused of cashing fraudulent checks using the tribe's funeral assistance fund by creating hundreds of fake names for spouses or siblings who are not enrolled. The team responsible for overseeing the burial expense program paid out nearly $470,000 within the last 6 months alone. The tribe says it remains committed to ensuring that all funds are accurately accounted for. Gabriel Pietrazio, KJZZ News, Phoenix.
In sports news, Larry Fitzgerald Sr. has died. He was a longtime Minnesota sports journalist who spent more than 40 years in the Twin Cities on the radio and in the newspaper. He also happened to be the father of Cardinals legend Larry Fitzgerald Jr., he was the first reporter to cover his own son in a Super Bowl. His family announced his passing with no cause of death given. Larry Fitzgerald Sr. was 71. Larry Jr. will be inducted into the Pro Football Hall of Fame in August. Baseball: Diamondbacks trying to gain ground on the Dodgers and off to a good start. Ketel Marte launched a 2-run homer. Nolan Arenado and Tommy Troy hit solo shots. D-backs rally for a 4-1 win over L.A. last night in Phoenix. Their first win over the Dodgers, their division rivals this season. The second of 4 this evening at Chase Field. Basketball, the misery, though, continues for the Mercury. lost their sixth straight game last night, returning home for a 111-77 blowout loss to the Minnesota Lynx. Never close as the Merc continue their slump. They dropped to 2-8 on the season. They're back on the road playing the Seattle Storm tomorrow. And that does it for this edition of KJZZ Sun Up, Arizona's morning news podcast on this Tuesday, June 2nd. I'm Phil Lantzman. Have a great day, and we'll do it again tomorrow.